Protests have erupted in Russia's Dagestan region as minorities say they are being targeted by Putin's mobilization orders. We're joined this afternoon by our guest, Dr. Jason J. Smart, who's American international political consultant and special correspondent, which speaks to us about the latest developments. Dr. Jason, good day. Greetings and welcome to the Airways of Radio Islam. Okay, so we seem to have lost Dr. Jason. We're going to try and get hold of him again. He's speaking to us from the United States of America. You may have seen the latest developments in terms of a video that has gone viral on Instagram, and this is with regards to the mobilization. Yes, so we have Dr. Jason with us. Dr. Jason, good day. Welcome to the Airways of Radio Islam.
Thank you so much. Good to hear you.
Thank you for joining us. So we've seen this video gone viral of mothers protesting in Dagestan, unhappy that their sons have to be thrown to the guillotine or you've been used as fodder in Putin's war. You know, what is really going on here?
Well, it's very simple, is that Putin has lost a massive amount of soldiers in this war, an estimated 55,000 so far, and he's running out of soldiers. And at this point, he's trying to hide from the general population of Russia, namely in St. Petersburg and in Moscow, the largest cities, how bad the war is going. So he's going to the smaller areas, the ethnic minority areas, the Muslim areas specifically, and he's taking them to send them to the slaughter so that he doesn't have to kill ethnic Russians because it would upset the general population too much.
Yes. And how is he succeeding in this? You know, does he have the rulers of these areas on his payroll? Are they simply willing to comply with everything that he's willing to do?
No, I mean, there's massive protest in these areas, such as Dagestan specifically has had massive protest against this, and they're refusing to go. Already, a person from Dagestan who was taken to the military is 10 times more likely to die in the war than a person taken from Moscow. And it's simply because the Russian military intentionally puts the people in the cannon fodder in the worst positions, the most dangerous positions, are the ones from these areas such as Dagestan.
Yes. Well, the protests, you know, these are minority populations in Dagestan that had been at war in the past, you know, trying to fight for their own independence, and they'd reached some sort of agreement. Is there now possible implications if they don't comply in this regard?
Sure. Putin is going to try to suppress them. He's already taking actions to do so. The fact is that he does have a serious risk, though, that this will actually start to create a movement in those areas to push for independence from Russia. I mean, why would they want to be part of a country where you're abused? You're not treated really as a full citizen. You're treated just as an animal to be used as necessary.
Yes. And what is the latest in the war that is taking place in Ukraine?
For the past 4 weeks or so, Ukraine has had substantial gains. It's retaken a lot of territory, and it continues to retake territory very quickly. The Russian military has really shocked the world by how unprepared it is. Truly, it's shocking. I study the Russian government, Russian military, and I'm shocked how unprepared it is. They are being completely beaten by Ukraine, which is a much smaller country. Ukraine has 38 million people. Russia has 140 million people. Russia was historically thought to be the second greatest military in the world. But this has shown that it's perhaps not even the second greatest military inside of Ukraine. It's just done horribly.
When you say unprepared, you know, what does that really entail? In what sense are they unprepared?
Well, there's a lot of ways. I mean, I think the soldiers this past, when the invasion began, the number of soldiers for the very freezing temperatures that did not have any clothing or did not have food. I mean, I think it was the week before last, an entire group of soldiers surrendered to Ukraine in exchange for sandwiches. They said, if you give us sandwiches, we'll surrender. And they surrendered. There's not food. There's not ammunition. There's not completely run out of a lot of the complicated technologies. So for instance, there's been helicopters, and you could see the videos online, there's been helicopters that were shot down from Russia that do not have GPS or navigation systems. They have rather the portable navigation systems that people had, you know, 15 years ago that you put in your car in your hand, and you can hold it and walk around with it. They had those taped into the cockpit of the helicopters because they no longer had sophisticated modern ones that normally helicopters or airplanes have.
At the beginning of the war, there was a push from Zelensky to make it a no-fly zone. And the fear at that time was that if it was declared as a no-fly zone and any Russian aircraft was shot down, that would then, you know, entail make this war of a larger scale and bring the UN, America, etc. into it. Now, obviously, there was a fear that that would lead to a full-blown war. Now, seeing how unprepared and, you know, the extent to which the Russians have almost collapsed, or, you know, how they've been thinned out, to tapered out, would have that been a possible option that should have been taken up in terms of expediting the fall, or what we'll say, you know, bringing Russia to this position of weakness?
Well, you know, it was, you know, in retrospect, everything is clear, right? It was easier to analyze. But the reality is that if we look at that period of time, there is a large problem with aerial bombardment. Today, that's almost stopped completely. And the reason it stopped within Ukraine is simply because we have given the Ukrainians anti-artillery weapons that are able to shoot down the Russian airplanes and the Russian helicopters. And Russia, just 3 days ago, lost 5 aircraft in one day, 4 airplanes and 1 helicopter. It's the most that Russia has ever lost in its since World War II. I mean, it's a massive loss. And Russia just every day is having such massive losses due to this anti-artillery technology, which was given to them by the United States, if I recall correctly.
Yes, I'm talking about that role of the United States, an indirect role in giving them weapons and giving them indirect support. You know, did the Russians underestimate as to that extent and how that would benefit the Ukrainians, and the fact that Ukraine has also been able to get the soldiers who would be able to handle these the military armament that they've been given?
No, absolutely. What's been actually interesting is that the Ukrainians have been given a lot of technology, and they've also been trained on it. One of the things that's very important to know is that there is training occurring in Germany. There's a training in Britain, in the United States, in the Baltic states, and a number of countries are participating in training the Ukrainian military on how to use these technologies as best as possible. I mean, if you look at the death toll that there's been for the Russian military in the past few months, it's very clear that the Ukrainians are using these weapons with very high precision and able to eliminate entire groups, I mean, hundreds of Russian soldiers all at one time. And these invaders, keep in mind, are coming across, I mean, they're fighting with technology that's outdated. If you see the guns that are given, for instance, these new people who are being taken to the military, specifically from these Muslim regions, if you look at the videos that have come out online of them appearing to the Russian military bases, you look at the rifles are from World War II. They're 75, 80-year-old rifles. They have mildew. They you can see tons of videos, but Russian soldiers put them online. This is not something invented. You can look. It's Russian soldiers put us online complaining that they don't want to go to war with rifles that are, you know, older than their grandparents.
What will it take to get Russia to, you know, pull out of Ukraine?
I think that ultimately it's going to be internal factors in Russia. At some point, Putin is going to have a realization that this is not helping his population. His population opposes it. And that ultimately his people will have to make that clear to him. I mean, really, the Russian people need to say, listen, Vladimir, this is not helping us. We have enough problems, economic problems, social problems. We cannot afford to continue this. And I think the protests actually in Dagestan contribute greatly to that, because it is making clear, I think, to the Russian general public that, listen, why are we sending soldiers to die in a foreign country for no clear reason, no clear goal, and then it creates instability in our own country? This isn't helping. And as these protests grow in Russia and this dissatisfaction grows, I think it'll be harder for Putin to maintain control of his country.
Yes, certainly. We certainly hope that the protests will yield those results, and you will heed the call to then pull out of Ukraine. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate chatting to you, Dr. Jason.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You also. Go well. Bye-bye. That was our guest chatting to us all the way from the United States of America, Dr. Jason J. Smart, chatting to us about these protests in Russia's Dagestan, where these are Muslim minority regions, and they are refusing to go and join the army and being used as cannon fodder, being dragged to the slaughterhouse. It's now 17 minutes to 6 Central African time.